Getting along with others, today on The Balanced Word.
The advice of these wise men is the same advice that God would give you this week, as you'll be dealing with people different than you. Maybe different areas of the country or the world, maybe people with different religious heritage or racial orientation, or in other ways, they just see things differently than you do, politically or economically or whatever. You live with a family full of people who are different than you, in a neighborhood of people who are different than you, in a state and a country and a world of people who are different than you. And the wisdom of God says to you, number one, be kind. See your commonness. Realize you're related and please them. Accept them. Be acceptable to them. Try to get along and speak good words to them.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Whether it's at home, in the office, or in the church, we'll be dealing with people that are different than us. Is it really feasible that we can all get along? If we do what God tells us to do, yes. Receive God's plan for getting along with others today on The Balanced Word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, the children of Israel became a divided nation. There are some noteworthy lessons to be found in all this, and here's Pastor Dave Rolfe to point them out.
We need to not only accept others the way they are, but we also need to be flexible enough to make ourselves a little bit more acceptable. Now, in a marriage, it works like this. I go, you know what? There are some things about you that are really driving me crazy, but I'm going to accept it. Oh, I remember one of the few faults that my wife, Ann, has is that she leaves her purse everywhere. It's just a natural thing when she comes home from shopping, start calling all the stores and see where her purse is. And it used to just drive me crazy. Because along with that, she also left doors open, garage door open. I'd get called, hey, Dave, your garage door is open. You want me to close it? Yeah, okay. And at first, it made me tense. And I gave her those same lectures that her dad gave her about, you know, don't you realize we could lose everything we have? We didn't have much. It really would be a blessing. But, you know, and I realized, you know what? That's not going to change her. This is the way she is. And so I just quit worrying about it. So if you want to go over to our house after church, it's unlocked, I guarantee you. Doors are open. Follow Ann around. You can steal her purse easily. And yeah, we dealt with identity theft and everything else from it, but some things you just go, that's the way it is. Now, I look at my wife, and she's so sweet, and she's so loving to me, and she has so many good qualities. The fact that she doesn't know where her purse is, it's not that big of a deal, really isn't. I don't get stressed about it anymore. She does certain things. I realize I married Lucy, and it's just, that's the way it is. When our kids were younger and I Love Lucy would come on TV, they would run and turn off the TV. Lucy's on, and they'd run and turn it off because they thought that's where Ann got her ideas. True story. But when she married me, she discovered what a pig I am. And that I'm busy. I just left things lying wherever they were. I'm a man, you know, and that was the way it was. But I learned that things got a lot better when I started learning to pick things up. And so it's like, okay, I just knew she's a real neat freak. I could tell she's not going to accept me as being a pig. Maybe she should. That's up to God. But it's too late now because I'm not anymore. I can be a pig in my office and I can be a pig in my car. And that's it. Other than that, I pick stuff up. Why? Because we have something in common. We're related. We're married. And a part of that is that, yes, I am to accept her just the way she is. She's to accept me just the way she is. I am. That was Freudian. But as we grow together, what happens is I not only just want to accept her, but as I accept her and I begin to understand what it's like to be her, then I think, you know, if I do this, it'll be more acceptable to her. And because I realize I have some things that are difficult to accept about me, There are some things about me that probably drive her crazy that I'll never be able to change. For whatever reason, that's me. But because she accepts me, then I want to become more acceptable. And that's really the advice that he's giving. Please them. It's not be a people pleaser, be a codependent kind of just, trying to satisfy everyone. But it's living our lives in such a way that on the basis of our commonness, on the basis that we are the same kind, then we begin to understand people who are different than we are and go, I guess it isn't all that crazy. There's a reason why someone might be that way. They might see the world in that way. And so I want to, as I think it's Stephen Covey who said, one of the most important rules is seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that would be the same kind of thing. Or put yourself in somebody else's place. You'll understand a little bit more what makes them tick, and you'll be able to accept them. But then secondly, you'll be motivated to want to be a little more acceptable yourself, to be willing to mold and shape who you are, to make it so that you're not so obnoxious to other people. It's not just in marriage, though. If you're going to have any friends, you're going to find that you need to accept people the way they are. Or all the candidates for your friendship. You ever been in the place where you really think somebody's a great person and you start getting to know them and then you just go, I don't know. I've had people do that with me. They say, Pastor Dave, he'd be fun to hang around with. They hang around me for a little bit and they go, boy, I don't know. We're all like that. And if we can't learn to accept people who are different than we are, pretty soon we're not going to have any friends because there isn't anyone out there who's just like you. And chances are, if there was, they'd drive you crazy. But beyond that also, to be a friend, you have to be willing to present yourself in such a way that's not repulsive. I know guys who have been single their whole life. And one guy I'm thinking of in particular, we've talked to him and said, if you'd start to clean up your act a little bit, maybe dress a little different, groom yourself a bit, and quit being so outspoken and annoying and arrogant and all these sorts of things. He's not here. maybe you'd attract a girl. And his line has been the same for as long as I've known him, over 20 years. Until I find a girl who will accept me as I am, I don't even want a girl. He's still alone. You can't wait for people to accept you as you are. Nobody wants you the way you are. So start to change a bit. Be willing to make yourself acceptable. And at the same time, this mutuality happens where you realize, wow, I accept you and you accept me. And it's okay that we're different. It's okay that we're not all alike. There are actually good things about the differences. We can be enriched by someone else's quirks and extremes. We can become more sensitive. Oh, I had a professor in seminary who was just a great man of God. He's gone to be with the Lord since then, but a wonderful man of God. But he had some real interesting quirks that were superstitious and kind of silly. One of them was when he carried a stack of books, which is whenever he went anywhere, he carried a stack of books. The Bible was always on the top of the stack. And he explained to me that his father was that way. His father was a rabbi, and he always would keep the Torah up on the top of anything else. Nothing would stack above it. And when I saw that, I thought, that's superstitious. It's just a book. It's no big deal. But I couldn't get it out of my mind. And to this day, I will not stack something on top of my Bible. My Bible's sitting on my desk, and somebody comes in, okay, here's the checks to sign, and throw them down on my Bible. I'm like, I don't want people to know how weird I am, so I just like kind of okay. But there's something that's kind of nice about that too. It's kind of a weird thing, but it reminds me to respect the Word of God. Now, if I see you carrying your Bible with a bunch of donuts on top of it after church, I'll accept that. But you won't see me doing that. But we're all different. We all have quirks. But there are reasons for the quirks, and there are things that we can learn from realizing that we're related, that we have things in common. And so we need to accept each other. We need to act in such a way that there's a mutual pleasing that goes on, that we bring pleasure into each other's lives. The third thing, and you know, maybe the most important in a lot of ways, he says, and speak good words to them. Speak good words to them. What we say, the things that come out of our mouth. The book of James talks about how hard it is to bridle the tongue. It's impossible. It's easier to steer a ship on the sea. It's easier to stop a fire than it is to control the tongue. Because as a man thinks in his heart, it comes out of his mouth. It just tends to work that way. And we can say things that hurt so deeply. The old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's so wrong. Words can hurt far more than sticks and stones. Oh, I don't know about you, but I like watching fights, boxing. Well, you know, any fight. But for the sake, let's just say sanctioned fights with referees and everything, certainly. You watch guys, they'll just beat the tar out of each other. They're both all bloody and swollen, and it's this great fight. And then at the end, they pick a winner, and the two guys are hugging each other, hanging on, kissing, you know, paying respect to each other. And you go, wait a minute, that guy just hurt you really bad. Yeah, but that's physical hurt. You can get over that. But the kind of hurt that comes from saying hurtful things to people, much harder to get over. In fact, if you see at the end of a boxing match two guys that won't talk to each other, it's not because of the brutal beating they took within the ring. It's because of the fact that they were trash-talking beforehand, saying things that wounded and damaged. And the truth is, the kind of abuse that comes from saying mean things, that sticks with you. You get bruises and bumps and scrapes and cuts, and they heal much easier than the hurt that comes from someone saying something that's just always with you. I know that in a group this size, there are a lot of you that hurt almost every day because of something that somebody said to you maybe 50 years ago or 20 years ago or something like that. And so the wisdom is, watch what you say. Speak in such a way that's consistent with the kindness, with the acceptance that you've been asked to do, to have, to possess. Use good words. Speak the words that heal. Speak the words that help, that uplift, that encourage. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, and when we were talking about kindness, I read that last verse to you, be kind one to another. But if you back up a couple of verses, Paul said this in verse 30 of Ephesians 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians tells us to season our speech with salt. Too much salt? Yuck. But enough salt to just bring the flavor out, that's great. To think about that in the way that we speak. Put away from us all the negative things that we could say. It's so easy to offer negative input to people. It's so easy to say things to people that will damage and hurt them. But if you want to get along with people who are different than you, which is every other person on this planet, watch what you say. Put a trap over your mouth. Start by saying less. Boy, when you talk a lot, there are so many chances that you're going to offend. It's one of the things that's distressing to me about being a pastor. Every week, people expect me to get up here and talk for 45 minutes. And you know, you've heard, sometimes something comes out that's just not appropriate or shouldn't be there. That's something that we need to take before the Lord and go, you know what, I see things differently than you, but I'm going to try not to say things that will hurt you. And beyond that, I'm going to make sure that I look to saying things that are helpful. When was the last time? When somebody comes to you, what do you think when they say, we need to have a talk? Oh, shoot. When was the last time someone said, I need to talk to you? And you go, okay. And they say, I just want to tell you, you've blessed me so much. I can't even express how much you mean in my life. You go, really? Wow. That's the way the mouth is designed to be used. Things like that build bridges to people who are different than we are, who have a different perspective than we are. We go, you're my kind. I accept you. I'm trying to be acceptable to you. And let me tell you something good. Let me tell you the good news. Let me say something that's going to uplift you and bring you up. Doing that, that's what the advice here is really saying. Over in Psalm 19, there's a great prayer that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I have a friend who says that she prays that every morning when she gets up. And there's nothing better that you could do than if your waking moment was before you say anything, before you think anything, you just go, God, it's another day. I'm going to be saying a lot of things, and I'm going to be thinking a lot of things. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a great prayer to pray. You can have bad thoughts about somebody, and if you don't say them, you don't even have to take them back. Oh, there are some people who do. I have people come up to me every once in a while and go, you know, I've hated you for years, but God's really helping me to deal with it. And I'm like, thanks. I thought you liked me. But if you can control your mouth, your mind can think all sorts of things, and God can talk you out of them before you dump it off on someone else. And so here, this advice, wonderful advice, advice that can help us to be unified, to be one, even in the middle of all of our diversity, to be able to say, look, we get along. It takes a miracle. But it's the kind of miracle that God wants to do in our lives and in our hearts and in our families, in our church, in the church of Christ, in our nation, in the world, to be able to say, can we treat each other like this a bit? I shared on Wednesday night about a DVD that I saw this week of one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. There's a pastor of some little Baptist church in Utah that instead of the typical way of witnessing to Mormons is getting out there and convincing them of how wrong they are and the stupid things that they believe and all those, you know, that's been the traditional way that we attack Mormonism. In the early days of Mormonism, it was to pass laws against them. Now it's more, let's see if we can insult them enough that maybe they'll flip, you know. But this guy decided instead that he was just going to reach out and bless them. He wrote a letter to the prophet of the Mormon church, and he said, you know, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to apologize to you on behalf of all the mean things that have been said about you and your people by my people, by the Christians. And it started a dialogue that led to meetings that now what happened back in November, they had this unprecedented historical meeting in the Mormon tabernacle. And so here, the advice of these wise men is the same advice that God would give you this week. As you'll be dealing with people different than you, maybe different areas of the country or the world, maybe people with different religious heritage or racial orientation, or in other ways, they just see things differently than you do, politically or economically or whatever. You live with a family full of people who are different than you, in a neighborhood of people who are different than you, in a state and a country and a world of people who are different than you. And the wisdom of God says to you, number one, be kind. See your commonness, realize you're related, and please them. Accept them, be acceptable to them. Try to get along and speak good words to them. Say things that are encouraging and uplifting and nice. Just say things good, and they'll be your servants forever. But wait a minute. That sounds like it's manipulation. They'll be servants, you'll be the boss. No, not at all. They use the term servant often to refer to that mutuality that was depicted by Jesus when he stooped down and he washed the feet of the disciples. And as he taught them, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant of all. Be willing to be a servant, and you'll see other people will serve you. You want your spouse to serve you a little more? Serve them. You want your kids and your neighbors and your friends to serve you a bit more? If you treat them like this, they'll want to. You serve them, they'll want to serve you. And so this wisdom will protect us from the division that will destroy us. At the same time, if we don't do this, we're in trouble. There's no future for us. If you're married and you just decide, nope, I'm going to say whatever I want, and I'm not going to be nice. There was an interesting study that some scientists did trying to predict what it is that makes marriages succeed or that makes marriages fail. And they brought people in over a period of years, and they interviewed them on video camera, and they scrutinized and watched them. And then they stayed with it long enough until some of the people were divorced and some of them were happily married. The study went for 12 years. And in that study, they started to try to identify factors and other things that would predict the success or failure. You know what the number one thing is that they saw that would be a predictor of a marriage failing within the first few years? It was a very simple thing. They would watch for clues as to one person looking down on another. They called it contempt. Looking at another person with contempt. Contempt means I look at you and you're different and you make me sick. I don't accept you. You're not as good as I am. And they found when there's contempt in a marriage, the marriage isn't going to last. But see, doing what God tells us to do, being kind, being related, accepting each other, being acceptable, saying nice things, you could save so much money in divorce court if we would live like this. And the pain that comes from the ripping apart and the division of people, think of what divorce costs us. Think of what war costs us. Think of what arguing, all lawsuits, think about what that costs us. And it's all because we don't do what the wisdom of the ages says that we should do. If we would obey verse 7 as a people, man, it would be a different world. Be incredible, because this is God's plan for how we're supposed to get along. This is God's plan for how we are to treat each other.
Wouldn't it be great if we could just get along in the body of Christ? What a witness that would be to the watching world. God, through His Word, shows us how that can be a reality. This is The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf. What you heard today is one part of a study in 2 Chronicles. Hear it again at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Let's finish up our time now in prayer.
Lord, as different as we are from our family and friends and enemies and people in other countries and from other religions and other political persuasions, frankly, God, we know some real weird people. But nothing as weird as what You were to us when You left glory and came down to dwell with a people that were as strange as we are, from literally a different planet. And yet You were willing to do that, and You were kind to us. You were related to us. You accepted us. Lord, and the words that you spoke, they were spirit, life, peace, and joy. You brought us the good news. And so, Lord, you've set the example for us. God, would you just please help us to act more like you? That when we look at each other, we'll see what you see and understand that for us to divide will be for us to fail. Bind us together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll bring you the story of the Queen of Sheba tomorrow on The Balanced Word. It basically shows us the best and worst of Solomon in many ways. That's next time with Pastor Dave Rolfe. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my